Veteran Podcast. Thank you for your service.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Bulletproof Veteran Podcast. It's great to be with you for another edition of the show, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. And I say that quite often because I always have fun on this show, but I really love talking about employment and veterans in the workplace. It's something that I enjoy. I try to help veterans get into my line of work all the time. I try to walk resumes and things like that. So I love when there's organizations out there that are trying to help veterans not only find employment, but sustained employment. Employment where they feel fulfilled in their daily lives and they're happy about their job. They're not waking up in the morning going, man, I got to go to work today. You know, finding that career that you can provide for your family and be a huge part of your community, I think is so important. And that's why I'm just super proud to have on the show today, Robin Grable. She's the founder of Veterans Ascend. Now, you may or may not have heard about this. They've been around since about 2018. And what they've done is they've created an AI-powered platform for veterans and businesses to be matched up. And that's really what we want. We want to see the veteran skill set and what the business has to offer. And then we match those two together. And now you have something amazing that can really lead to a bright future. So, Robin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Good morning, Jason. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And it's always a pleasure to have a fellow veteran on the show that's doing stuff like this. You are a Navy veteran, and I would love to hear a little bit of your backstory before we kind of jump into Veterans Ascend. You know, where you came from, how you got started, and why you got into this.
Sure, absolutely. So I lived in a small town in Indiana, grew up there. When the Navy recruiter came to the high school and said, join the Navy and see the world, I was in. So I joined the Navy right out of high school, served for 9 years. It was a great experience. Led me to doing some advocacy work even back then as a female in the Navy in the late 70s, early 80s. It was a very different time. Mm-hmm. Not a lot has changed, unfortunately, but spent my 9 years, got out of the Navy, and the resume writer said, I have no idea how to translate your skills or what you could do. So I started my career over. Didn't realize it at the time, but that was a catalyst for what I'm doing today. Landed in HR, worked my way back up after 25 years, met an Army veteran's wife while we were finishing our master's. She commented that her husband had been out for 6 months, could not get an interview. It was seriously like a gut punch to me. And I thought, how is this still happening after 25 years? And so that was the catalyst for Veterans Ascend. And I took all my HR experience, my military experience, and we built this program to break those barriers, to get to the heart of what an employer needs and what a veteran brings to the table.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the Cold War veterans, and I have a lot of friends that are Cold War veterans, they had a very unique situation that I think we're going to start seeing again. I think we're going to actually spin back around to that where we're not talking about the military as much. I mean, we are a little bit right now with the Russia situation and everything like that. But when you don't have a hot war, communities aren't throwing big parades when people are coming back and ending their enlistments. You know, it's not the same. And you don't get that like kind of spotlight on, hey, hire this veteran. He just got back. He did 2 tours in Iraq. He did, you know, a tour in Afghanistan. You know, she was on a ship for, 2 years. And now we want to make sure she's, taken care of in our community. The Cold War veterans, a lot of people, when you got home, it was like, oh, you're a veteran. Oh, what is that? You know, it's not even a bit, you know, what'd you do?
Right.
And I think you're going to start seeing that again as now, again, we're not in a hot war, and hopefully for some good amount of time, that would be nice.
Exactly.
But you need things like this to make sure that we highlight what veterans can do and why they're so important.
Yeah. Case in point, Jason, the VA doesn't even have statistics on how many Cold War veterans there are. It skips between Vietnam, Korea, and it jumps right to the Gulf War veterans. Mm-hmm. So there's not even a statistic on this. But I didn't really realize this at the time either, as I had a job tracking Russian submarines back in the early 80s. There was a lot going on and a lot that we trained for that could have happened in a second.
Mm-hmm.
The military today, even though we will go through, and I agree with you, we will go through that phase of the lull in activity, but we're still training for what could happen. what is the possibility with China, with Russia, with Korea, all of these countries. We're still training to protect our freedom, mm-hmm. to protect our country. So definitely, and it drives me to build that awareness, build that advocacy for our military. You know, less than 1% serve in uniform. We're less than 10% of the population. So we don't get the recognition and the understanding of what we bring to the table, but also the sacrifices our military veterans, service members, and their families make on a daily basis. They choose to do it. They raise their right hand to protect this country, to protect our freedoms. And we take it for granted, the sacrifices that they make. And I believe I was born to be on this mission, to make it my life's work, to be an advocate.
And I think it's something that's really needed, because when you talk about 1% of the military, you know, of the population serving in the military, 10% total veterans, you know, you look at the amount of people that know a veteran compared to World War II and Korea. Right. You know, most people don't know a veteran. So it's very hard when you go to an employer to say, well, I did X, Y, and Z in the military. What you know, am I a good match for your company? Because the employer, there's a very good chance they don't know anybody that's been in the military. They definitely don't know what an MOS is, an AFSC, any of that stuff. So a lot of it gets lost in translation. And that's why I was drawn to what you're doing, because I think this skill profile that you're building for not only the employer, but the veteran, and matching that instead of focusing on a resume, is really cool and very important. Can you tell me a little bit about how you came up with that idea and why you went with that?
Absolutely. So thanks for the question. You know, it came down to my years of experience in HR, being a recruiter, being in talent acquisition, and having to struggle myself through reading a resume, not even just military, but people that were trying to change careers, or just homemakers that stayed home. Now they've got gaps in their work history that military spouses face. So taking that experience and saying, what is the barrier? What is the true issue to connecting the talent and employer needs? And it's really, really came back to my very first job. I walked into the Ponderosa restaurant, sat down with the manager and said, I like to talk to people. What can I do here? This is my skill. What do you need me to do? And they hired me as the hostess.
Okay.
It comes back to that. It's just making it simple. What skills do you need as the employer? Not what task do you need done, or what title the previous, you know, I held at a previous employer, but what skills do you need? And then here's a person, here's a veteran with those skills. Doesn't matter what their title was in the military that you don't understand. Doesn't matter what their tasks were in the military that you definitely don't understand. And sometimes they don't even know how to translate it either, right?
Of course.
I mean, I tracked Russian submarines. How do you what data entry point do you say on a resume that talks about that somebody could understand? So it was really just getting back to the simplistic terms of what skills does an employer need? Here's a person, a veteran with those skills. So we built the translation tables from scratch. We don't use anything. So we're not translating just the title. That's where some of these programs go wrong, in my opinion. They translate just the title. So if you're infantry in the military, you can be a security guard. You can be a police officer. You can be a private investigator. But if you look at the actual skills that went into learning infantry in the military, as an example, there's equipment maintenance, operational planning, strategic thinking, team leadership, human resources, all these things that go into learning their job as infantry and all the other jobs that they're tasked with, their skills there. So it really came down to get rid of the resume, get rid of the application first process, because 95% of veterans, military spouses are filtered out before they even get to a human being, which, as you just mentioned, that human being may not even have any military experience. So now there's another barrier. So we remove all of those things. We remove the resume. There's no question. I have to try to figure out what you've done. I can see your skills. Let's have a conversation. Tell me about your time in operational planning. Give me an example of your equipment maintenance experience. So there's that opportunity to just talk language to language versus trying to figure out, how do I even ask you any questions? That's really what it came down to, is just breaking those barriers, getting rid of the bias as well. I've had employers say, looking at a resume that somebody put on there, I led a $34 million project. And the HR person was like, our company's not even worth $34 million. You're highly overqualified for our company. Dismissing all the value that that person brings to the table. So that was really the catalyst. And it is definitely a paradigm shift, but one I am happy to be on.
Yeah. And I dealt with it myself when I got out. I was a K-loader mechanic. Mm-hmm. Say that to somebody. They look at you like you have 10 heads. But if you can break it down, like you said, into the skill sets, I worked on diesel engines, I worked on hydraulics, I worked on electronics. Yeah. Okay, now we're starting to talk. And all of a sudden, I was working at a boatyard, working on boat engines and doing radar installs and stuff like that. Because we took that step, I actually got lucky, and the hiring official of that company said, okay, what does any of this mean? And they actually asked me. But that's usually not the case. Usually, right. It's a barrier for entry right away, and they're just like, okay, toss this one. I got five more over here. I don't need to figure this out. I'm going to go with the one that's the simplest. And it's part laziness, and there's part just, hey, I don't have the time for this.
Right.
I just need an employee. I don't want to go through all of this. So what I like is that employers can come. Now, when an employer comes to your website, they set up kind of their own profile of what they're looking for, correct?
Correct. So they're going in and creating job profiles. We don't scrape anything off the internet. So they have to really think intentionally mm-hmm. about the skills they need for the job. Again, not what tasks you need done, but what skills are required of that task. It's a whole different conversation. You can ask if I've done the task, but do I have the skills to do the task? Just because I've done it before doesn't make me good at it.
Right. Right. And just because yeah. you haven't done it doesn't mean you will be good at it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. So it's a matter of the employers go in and create their job profiles, intentionally thinking about the skills they need for the job. Because once you think about the skills, it's a whole different mindset when you're interviewing someone, when you're onboarding someone, when you're looking for that talent. You're in a different mindset of saying, are you going to be successful in this role because you have the skills we need for our company? So they create their job profiles. They pick the exact skills they're looking for. They set the location of the job, set the salary range they're offering. And then our algorithm matches them with the top candidates in our database.
And that location and salary is also very important, because let's be honest, I don't want to get a bunch of emails matching me to a job in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if I live in New York City. It's exactly. a waste of my time. It's a waste of the employer's time. Unless I specifically say, hey, I'm willing to move to Tulsa, Oklahoma, I don't want to hear about a job there. And right. a lot of these websites, even if you filter it out by zip code and stuff like that, you get emails from all over the country. I mean, it's a matter of how the websites work. So it's good that we can kind of, hey, I want to work here. I only want this salary. And
right.
this company is here and they are offering this salary. All right, let's talk.
Absolutely. You know, very much like there's a lot of AI out there in the world today. You think of Carvana, mm-hmm. eHarmony, companies like that. It's really about that. Employer needs a red car with blue wheels. Here's a candidate with a red car and blue wheels. It's really that simple. And it's, you know, there's a lot of talk about AI as well being subjective. Our AI simply matches the skills. So there's no objectivity. The candidate isn't trying to massage or make their resume look like the job description and hope that they can make it through the filters and hope that they can tell the story to the employer. But it's truly saying, this is what my experience translates to because I've done the job. I've done these things. I have these skills. Let's have a conversation about the opportunity. So it takes it to a different level of matching, you know, bringing together what belongs together. Instead of trying to fit a square peg resume into a round hole job description, it gets back to the simplicity of, here's what I need, here's what you have, let's have a conversation.
I deal with it all the time. I'm a federal employee, and we do these things called KSAs. They're knowledge skill assessments, and they drive me up a wall. And because you're basically telling a story, you're answering a question, you tell a story, and then somebody in an office reads your story and decides whether or not you qualify for the job. This has nothing to do with the hiring. You still have an interview. You still have to go before the hiring official, the person that actually knows about the job, but you're weeded out prior to getting to anybody that even knows what the position needs from a technical or a managerial standpoint or whatever it is. It's very aggravating because it's like, hey, one, the agency's not getting the best person for the job. They're getting the best person that tells a story, that makes a list.
Right.
And I might not get matched with the right jobs within the agency because, you know, my story was geared this way or that way.
Absolutely.
So when you take all of that away and you just, hey, you can do this, you have these skills, and we're looking for these skills. Let's talk.
Exactly.
That's huge.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about people that, I don't take tests well.
Right.
So how I answer a question on an assessment or a personality test or any of those applications that force me to answer questions about who I am rather than just being able to tell the truth from my experience and be matched on my skills, you're not going to be matched to the right job. And there's so much subjectivity. We're human beings, regardless of how much we say, we don't have bias. When you look at a resume and you see a female's resume in a male-dominated career, there's bias there.
Mm-hmm.
So we remove all of that as well. So employers, when they look at the candidates, they do not see their name. They don't see any ethnicity identification, gender identification, age identification, any of those barriers. They simply see the skills.
That's
and
excellent.
Our intent is that once they unlock their contact information where they now can see their name and can make some, you know, assumptions, that they've already determined this is the right person for me to talk to because they have the skills we need, they're located where we need them to be, and their salary requirement fits into the salary range that we can offer. So I love it because it takes away all of the questions. You don't have to worry about, I can be proud of who I am. We started with veterans because I am a veteran. We've now moved into the disability space, and we've also are working on second chance justice involved candidates who also face barriers to those entry points of getting that interview because of those, you know, exclusionary practices, human or otherwise, human or machine made. And you got to remember that machines are built by humans. So you build it in there. And so we want them to be recognized and proud of who they are and what they bring to the table, because there are employers out there who need them.
Yeah.
And we just want to make sure we're matching them to the right jobs, the right skills, the right careers. You mentioned this in your opening. You know, we want our veterans, our candidates to get matched to careers that give them that sense of purpose again, that help them be successful, utilize the skills they're confident in, they're comfortable in, and contribute to society again and the economy. There's such a full circle moment when you think about being able to get into a great career, support their family, give back to their community. It's very fulfilling.
100%. And, you know, we talk so much about, you know, veteran suicide and all of this stuff, the PTSD side of things, which can, again, be another barrier to entry if you have an employer who has a feeling about the military or that, you know, that's a broken veteran. We don't want that in our office or whatever the case may be. You can get rid of a lot of that. You could filter a lot of that out. But you also, you know, when we do talk about veteran suicide, you want to fix these situations before they get bad. You don't want a veteran to be unemployed for 2-3 years and
right.
Now they are in a dark place. Now they do have problems that they're working through. Maybe they have financial issues, maybe, you know, spousal issues, children, whatever the case may be. If you provide them with a career and something they can be proud of every day, going to work, you've given them their next mission. And
absolutely.
That that is a huge step towards solving what is a crisis in this country. So it's great that we can do that in a way where we're involving the employer, we're involving the veteran, and we're using AI to kind of just take away some of the biases in the beginning so that we can get the best product out there.
Absolutely. Well, you think of, as I mentioned, the catalyst really for the start of this was that Army veteran's wife,
mm-hmm.
Her husband had been out 6 months and he was already spiraling down.
Yeah,
he
I believe
would
it.
Have, you know, become one of those statistics. And it that I believe in my heart that if we can provide them, like you said, that sense of purpose, getting them into a great career very soon after they get out of the military, but into the right career. You know, there's a lot of talk out there about, well, veterans leave their first job, you know, within the first year, within the first 6 months, et cetera. I believe it's because they're not placed in the right career.
Mm-hmm.
They take a job because they need to put food on the table. They need to, you know, pay their rent, their mortgage. And so they take a job and they settle for something, but it's not the right career. And they're unhappy because they don't have a sense of purpose. They don't have a sense of belonging. They're not using their skills that they learned. So I truly believe, as an HR professional, as a veteran, as a citizen, just if you're in the right job, you will contribute and be happy. And it's a full circle catalyst for everything else to go right in your life. You know, there's a lot of talk about talent shortages today. I have a whole opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
The talent is out there. It's that employers are not looking in the right place and they're missing out on great talent, such as our veterans, our military spouses, who they can't get a better career because they're moving every 2 to 3 years to serve our country,
mm-hmm.
to make sure our service members can do their jobs because they're supporting the family. And so getting them into great careers, getting people with disabilities recognized that they may need to work remote because they have limitations, whether it be cognitive, neurological, physical, whatever it is. 1 in 4 Americans identify as having some disability. That's a lot of talent out there that is not getting recognized. So that's really our mission. It's really to be that beacon of change, intentional change for talent diversity, equity, and inclusion.
So I'd like to know a little bit about, so we're talking about the employers you were just speaking about, what has been their reaction to this? Like, are we seeing, hey, this is a much better way of doing it than like Indeed or something like that? Not trying to name drop anything, but you know, that's one of the popular ones out there right now.
Sure.
You know, are we seeing more employers say, hey, this is something that I can get behind? Or is it still trying to convince them to get away from the old style resume interview, blah, blah, blah?
You know, it's kind of half and half.
Okay.
It's, you know, there are employers who fully embrace it, absolutely embrace it, and say, yes, we're tired of screening resumes that aren't qualified. They're unqualified applicants versus qualified candidates. And then we've got the other side as well, that they just say, I need a resume. Your skills profile is a piece of paper with words on it that I don't understand. I need a resume. Well, and I laugh and say, well, a resume is just a piece of paper with words on it that most people don't understand.
Yep.
And don't know how to write, you know?
Yeah, that's 100%.
So it really is a half and half, I'll say. And part of it is just a learning and education process that there is a better way. You know, there's a lot of talk, even the federal government is going to, not looking at education levels now, whereas that was a screening mechanism. Well, you had to have a bachelor's degree, right? So there is a lot of change happening, which I'm very happy to see in the employment space, in the workforce space. And COVID, for all the bad things that it has done, it really has opened up the great opportunity to look at talent differently. It's a talent world, and the employers have to change how they look at workforce and where they're getting the talent. So it's been a great opportunity in that regard. But there is still half and half. There's still a lot of employers. And I'll say, you know, large employers, recruiters, you sort of talked about this a little bit ago, but HR doesn't have a lot of time. They are tasked with so many things. Talent acquisition teams are told, get our positions filled. So they don't necessarily get supported in taking the time to find the right talent. And there's that churn. So it's just an education process. But I've been an advocate all my life. I was a stepchild growing up. So I learned how to, you know, advocate for myself. Always wanted to be a child psychologist, thinking that you know, I could help other children in the demise that I was in. Ended up being in advocacy, you know, female in the military. So really had to fight for, you know, when I was in the Navy, there were a lot of jobs I couldn't do simply because I am a female. Not because I didn't have the skills, not because I wasn't smart enough, not because I wasn't strong enough, simply because I am a female. And so I started my advocacy journey then. I love what I'm doing today, and I love to be able to be this voice for the marginalized, underserved communities.
Yeah. And it's great that you're expanding it, like you were talking about. You know, veterans is one. And listen, we need to support them, and we need to, you know, do what we can to make them productive members of the community, because it just benefits everybody. But as you get into, like you were saying, disabilities, one in four, you know, Americans identify as having some type of a disability. That's a lot of people that need help. And that's a lot of people that would benefit their community by being in a long-term career where they're, you know, making money. I mean, I hate to say it, work is about money. I mean, most people would not go to work if they weren't getting paid. So it's about money, and it's about money going back into the community. It's about having a nice house, having the things that you want, being able to provide for your family. We're talking about large groups of people that you're expanding to with, you know, second chances and all of that. It's very cool that you've kind of taken this, what you've started with veterans, and now you keep going into these other groups. When these different groups go to the website, what is their kind of experience? Because like you said, you're dealing with a very diverse group. You have veterans, they're going to have one need. You're expanding out to you know, other groups. Have you had to change how you're doing the website for the different groups, or is it basically the same model that you've used from the veterans?
Yeah, great question, Jason. So we did, when we adapted back in 2020, we built Ability Ascend actually for the disability community specifically. Mm-hmm. We leveraged the technology from Veterans Ascend. We did make one major change in that we built in a traits section or soft skills section for those that have not had previous work experience.
Okay, yeah.
For whatever reason, right? So they don't have anything we can translate for them. So military has their military occupations. They also have some civilian, military spouses have some civilian experience or volunteer experience that we can translate into skills. Mm-hmm. People with disabilities, a lot of them don't have that. So we built in a traits section, which we have now combined Veterans and Ability Ascend into Talents Ascend. So we brought that trait section forward. And what I love about it is it's not an assessment. We talked about this earlier. It's not how I answer a question that tells you that I'm an introvert. It's not about an assessment, a personality test that tells you that I like to be in front of people. Mm-hmm. But it's simply I get to choose who I am. I like to be detail oriented. I am a multitasker. I like to be behind the scenes. Whoever I am, I get to define myself, and then employers match to those soft skills as part of their job profile now. So that's the one difference in between veterans and now into talents. We built that traits section in to define soft skills. Employers will now look at soft skills jobs, because we do have a lot of employers out there that will train people.
Of course.
That have the right skills, right? That the right soft skills, the right initiative, the right intuition, those type of things. So we built that in to let them be proud of who they are, rather than having to look at a job description and read something that makes them feel like they're less of a person because they don't have, or they don't feel like they have that personality or that task. And I want people to be proud of who they are, and employers to value who people are, because we need all types of people when we run businesses. Yeah. We need people that want to work back in the stock room folding boxes. You know, we need people that want to be out in front of customers and engaging and being the face of the company. We need people that want to sit and do data entry all day long. You know, we need people that are on the manufacturing lines, whether it be still doing manual process or running a robotics machine. So there's so many careers and opportunities out there that need specific skills. So that's what we built into Talents. So when you come to Talents, you're going to be able to identify in the categories that we serve. You can check the box that I'm a military veteran or I'm a military family. I'm a person with a disability. I'm a justice involved second chance candidate. We give priority to those candidates, matching priority. But Talents Ascend is open to everyone. And it's completely free for all candidates to create a profile and get matched to a career versus trying to fit yourself into a, you know, round hole square peg situation.
Yeah.
So it's open to everyone, free for all candidates. But we do have them identify in their categories who they are. If you identify as a military veteran, there's different sections that you need to fill out. So your branch, years of service, that type of thing, and your military occupation so that we can get those skills correct. And then other opportunities to talk about how much travel you want to do in a job, where you'd be willing to relocate, what shift you want to work, your career preferences, things like that. So it's super simple. It really takes less than about 10, 15 minutes to create a profile. No resume, no searching, no applying first. It's about letting you define who you are and be proud of that and then get matched to an employer who values that.
And it just sounds like such a nicer experience than the other job board. Because like, okay, as a federal employee, I'm on USA Jobs all the time. That's just what we use, okay?
Sure.
But it can be, and I have a lot of friends that are not federal employees that have been wanting to get in. It's a gut punch when you constantly are looking at jobs and as you read through them, well, I'm not qualified for that one. I'm not qualified for that one. I'm not qualified for that one.
Right.
It takes a toll on you. Or what ends up happening, and this happens more often than not in my experience, is everybody tries to massage their their resume or their answers on the assessments and all of that to fit the job, even though you aren't qualified for that job.
Right.
But you're now trying to just massage it to make it kind of fit, and maybe I can get my foot in the door and get an interview and you know, sell myself. But it's tough because then you go through the process, maybe you make a list, but you never get called for an interview because once it goes to the hiring official, they see through it right away and they're like, no, none of this is actually what I wanted. You made it through the computer or the HR person, but you're not, I'm never going to do an interview with you. You never had a chance. So this sounds like something, it's like, hey, let me just put out there what I have and bring me back what I actually qualify and what would actually work for me.
Absolutely. And it opens up opportunities that you wouldn't even think of. When you think about, there are 30 million businesses in the United States.
Yeah.
30 million. Where do you even begin to say, what do I qualify for? What do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
How do you even know about all those great opportunities that are out there? And you're going to start sending resumes, like you said, massaging it to look like the job description, submitting it, not ever hearing back. You know, all these things that are very frustrating, very degrading, that's a horrible situation. Versus our program, you get matched to any industry, any career that needs your specific skills. It could be manufacturing. It could be construction. It could be pharmaceutical. It doesn't matter because they need your exact skills. So you get the opportunity to learn about something you may not have even thought of to even consider applying for, but now you've got the opportunity to talk about it. So it just opens up so much opportunity for our candidates to, again, be proud and for the employers to get exactly what they need without all the waste of time of looking at a resume saying, first of all, I don't know what your salary is because we don't do salaries on resumes. So I don't know if you even fit. I went through that so many times as a recruiter, HR professional. The very first question I'd have to ask someone is, here's our salary range we're offering. Does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've already spent at least 30 minutes getting to that point only to hear, nope, that doesn't work for me. I want XYZ. So now I've wasted 30 minutes of my very precious HR time to move forward. So There's just so many great things about what we're doing in eliminating the frustrations. The other thing that we built into the program is feedback. So when employers choose not to interview one of our candidates, they have to give us a reason why. So they have to choose a dismiss reason. That feedback goes back to the candidate. They don't know who it comes from, so we do keep that confidential, but at least they're getting some snippet of information why they didn't get an interview. And it's typically maybe they're missing a critical skill. The employer just absolutely has to have, you need to be a .NET developer. That's a very critical skill, right? Yeah,
if you don't meet that criteria, it's just not going to work.
Exactly. And so they get that feedback, and the candidate that can then choose, okay, well, let's say the employer said you don't have your PMP. Mm-hmm. And the candidate is getting that a lot because they have other skills associated with project management, but they just haven't gone to get their PMP. Now I can say, all right, maybe I need to go get my certification in PMP, right?
Yep.
Because all these employers are matching to me, but I don't have that certification. At least they're getting something back that will help them move forward.
Yeah. It sounds like it's just such a two-way street with feedback, almost both ways. The employer can see exactly what they need. And something that I tell all my coworkers all the time is you go for a new job or something like that, always get feedback. Even if you didn't get an interview, if you got an interview, definitely get feedback because you should know how your interview is going because that is a skill set in and of its own. Good interviewing.
Right.
A lot of jobs are lost in the interview. But if you didn't even get the interview, what did your package look like? Why didn't they call you for the interview? Get that feedback so you can adjust. It could be something very silly that is just literally, like you said, words on a page that you might have to change. So it's great that you're offering that back to the veteran or the candidate as you guys expand. That they can have that, especially as, and stop me if I'm wrong, but you have all different levels of employment in this program. It's not just entry level. So you Absolutely. Have people that are changing their careers, maybe at a higher level. It might be a while since they've applied for a job. So this could be new to them.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, our program is, we've got small businesses, less than 10 employees that can only offer entry-level salaries or grow-as-the-company-grows salaries, all the way up to very successful six-figure positions mm-hmm. At small businesses, large corporations. It runs the gamut, which, again, when you think about the opportunity, I may want to look at a large company because I think that's the only place I can get a six-figure salary. So I'm going to try to apply and apply and apply, get frustrated. Or yet there are very successful small businesses who can offer those salaries and you get that opportunity directly. So we definitely run, we have all industries. We don't have, there's no limitations to how we can source our talent. We've got a great team behind the scenes that does the sourcing for our employers. They work in the communities, building relationships with military installations, veteran service organizations, agencies, schools, universities, trade associations. So we're doing that work behind the scenes, which saves employers a lot of time. But it really opens us up to every industry imaginable, every level of business, every level of a job within those businesses.
And to reiterate, it's free for the candidate.
Correct.
So you have really nothing to lose by going on and creating your profile and just seeing what is out there. The businesses, there's kind of a pay model for the businesses to list their job basically or look for a candidate?
There are. So it's a membership fee. It's an annual membership that employers pay based on company size. So it starts at, we've got a level for 500 employees or less. 500 to 1,000 employees, and it goes up from there. So it's based on that, but it's completely unlimited. So it's a one-time annual membership fee to have unlimited jobs, unlimited candidates, and unlimited sourcing support for multiple users within the company. Our intention is to open up as much opportunity as possible for the communities that we serve and now open to everyone. But it's really about how many connections can we make? That's what we grade ourselves on. We hold ourselves accountable is how many connections can we make? How many conversations can we start? How many advocacies can we do for our communities? So unlimited candidates, unlimited jobs. And what we help employers do is really build a talent strategy. Look at talent acquisition proactively, not reactively.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the talent you need. If you're looking at it proactively, you've got the time to really think about the skills you need, really have great conversations with those candidates that have those skills, rather than, oh my gosh, I have to fill this seat today. I'm just going to put somebody in it.
Yeah.
And hope for the best.
And we've seen that a lot.
Ultimately, it doesn't work, right?
Yeah. No, it never does.
And now you've got turnover and that person suffers. It's just not a good situation. So we want to help employers build a talent strategy that's intentional, inclusive, and proactive, which brings profit back to their company. They're saving time. So you're getting more productivity. You're getting better retention. You're getting more profit back into your company. But it's a shift, Jason. I mean, it's a change in the way we think about talent acquisition, the way we think about employment and workforce. It is a total change. The resume has been around since the days of Da Vinci, you know, so it's a long time coming. Again, I'm happy to be driving the Titanic with the rowboat oar.
Hey, listen, it needs to be done, but you guys have done really well. I mean, you're talking about, I think I read there was about 8,000 veterans have been through Veterans Ascend.
It's about 12,000 now. So we're definitely growing.
You're growing. That's right. So it's no slouch. So people, it is a tough process. Anytime you change a model, it is always tough. And especially something like a resume. I mean, like you said, it's been around forever. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that's how you find an employee. You get a resume. Right. You know, that's just, it kind of rolls off the tongue. But getting that amount of people through the program and getting them employed shows that there are companies that do want to change. There are people out there that don't like the status quo and want to find a better way to do this.
Absolutely. You know, and there definitely are. We've got some great employers using the program today and a lot of employers that we're talking to that want to make this change for the right reasons. They know they're frustrated. Their HR departments are frustrated with unqualified applicants, reading resumes that don't fit their jobs. And really missing out on the talent that they need. So we're really being embraced with this change. And it's the momentum is picking up. So really happy to have Talents Ascend now rolling out and really just opening up this community to even more opportunities and more employers. And just really appreciate you, Jason, and the opportunity to talk about it. So.
Definitely. Yeah. And I, like I said, this is something that I love to talk about. I love helping people try to find work because, again, I really believe that that's kind of the base for happy living is having a career that you want to wake up and go to work every day. I'm blessed because no matter what, I mean, I'll complain about my job with the best of them, trust me. But there's not a day that I don't want to go to work. Like I enjoy what I do. I'm very fulfilled by it. And to be able to pass that on to other people is very important to me. So I love what you guys are doing. Now, Talent Ascends is going to be the new platform, correct? Now, that's going to be kind of a one-stop shop now. Everybody could go there and it'll branch you out?
Yes, absolutely. So that's talentsascend.com. That's where they can go and learn more about us. We also have a nonprofit side called the Ascend Collective. Where we'll continue to do advocacy, awareness, education for the communities that we serve. But talentsascend.com is where everybody can go. Create your profile. Employers can sign up with us, learn about us. We have live demonstrations of the platform as well. So employers can schedule a discovery call, see a demo of how it works. And we've got a lot more things planned even after this initial launch of Talents. We've got a few more things in the works about how we can continue to make these connections better experiences for our candidates and for our employers. So really, really exciting. And I agree with you about, you know, getting a job where you feel like you look forward to Monday.
Yeah.
Rather than looking forward to Friday. I wake up every day and I'm like, what, is it Friday? No, I don't want it to be Friday. I want it to be Monday. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And our entire staff is like that too, which is just great. By the way, our entire staff is either a veteran or military spouse, three of which are active duty military spouses, one of which is stationed in Japan.
Excellent.
And so we live our mission as well. And it's just a really a great experience. And the opportunity that they embrace and they get into because they're recognized for what they bring to the table rather than, well, you have work, you know, you have gaps in your work history. You're going to move in 2 to 3 years. I can't invest in you. It's just such a wrong way to look at things. And I think employers are coming around to the broader scope of let's find the right talent for my organization.
Yeah. And you're doing it through education. You have webinars on the websites, videos on the websites. You guys have your own podcast. So there's plenty of information. If you get over to the website, there's plenty of things to click on and learn. There's frequently asked questions if you just want some brief overview. Like I said, the webinars for everything from the business side of things or the employee side of things, right there on the website. You can check it all out. Check out the podcast as well, because there's a lot of good interviews and information there. It's amazing. Like I said, I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much, Jason. Really appreciate it. We love what we're doing as well. And we're just thankful for all of the employers that have already jumped on board. Looking forward to getting even more into the pipeline.
Excellent. Well, Robin, it's been a blast talking to you. I think there's been a lot of information. I want everybody to go check out Talent Ascends. Just go right, like I said, right to the website. There's plenty of information over there and you can really check out and, maybe this is the catalyst you need to change your career or start a career after the military. So please check it out. Robin, again, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. You have a great rest of the day. I want to thank Robin for coming on the show and talking to us all about Talent Ascends, formerly Veteran Ascends, as they kind of just grow and grow. It's just an amazing website. And again, we talked about it. This isn't about finding a job. You can go out in newspaper, find a job. I tell you how old I am. I'm looking at newspapers. This is about finding a career. This is about matching your skill set with a company's skill set for a long-term relationship that brings happiness to both sides. Having a career is amazing for your mental well-being, your family life, and obviously financially and long-term planning. So being able to use this AI and matching your skill sets with the company's skill sets and getting past using resumes, getting past trying to get your foot in the door with keywords and buzzwords and all that crap that really doesn't mean anything is huge. So again, check out Talent Ascends. If you're a veteran looking for a change in your career, or if you're just getting out and you're looking to start a career, please check them out. This is a great way of going about it. You're going to put in your skills. You're going to put in what you're looking to make, and you're going to put in your location, and they're going to match you. Pretty simple. Whole process, 10, 15 minutes, you're done. And maybe you're getting a phone call the next day from a business that wants you because of what you can do. Sounds great, doesn't it? So please check out Talent Ascends. Again, thank you so much, Robin, for coming on the show. So what else do we got for you? Again, we are still running our fundraiser. We're going to be running all the way through to November. You got plenty of time for the cancer screening kits for Hunter 7 for veterans. About 50 different cancers it screens for. Early detection, so important. We've already raised almost $400 just in the first couple of days that the fundraiser was open. So thank you to all those people that donated. I love every single one of you. And please, if you can, donate. We're trying to raise this money. Again, we're trying to get up to about $2,700. Share. If you can't donate, share. Listen, I understand money can be tight. If you can't donate, no problem. But if you share, it does so much for us, because the bigger audience we get, the more money we're going to raise. So please share it. Link in my bio in Instagram. There's also a link on the Facebook page. All of that, you can go. Or you could just go to Fund the First. If you just Google Fund the First, they have a search option at the top of their page, and you can literally type in either Bulletproof Veteran or Hunter 7, and we're the one that comes up. We pop right up on the screen. So if you don't want to worry about links and all that crap, just go right over to Fund the First in their search bar, Bulletproof Veteran. We'll come right up, and you can donate there, or there's a tab to share it on Facebook, Twitter, or to copy a link and send it to people if you want to do it through email or text. If you have somebody that you know that might want to donate, please go right ahead and do that. And again, to everybody that already has donated, thank you so much. You've been more than generous, and you're getting us off to a great, great start. And again, thank you to Fund the First. Their whole system was just so easy to set up and get verified as a veteran, get Hunter 7 verified as the nonprofit. It just was so simple. Within a couple hours, the whole thing was done, approved, and live, and I loved it. So again, thank you to Fund the First for what they do in making sure that we can do these fundraisers with no fees or you know, somebody asking for $1,000 that we raise or whatever the case may be. What else do we got? So, ran the Suffolk County Marathon on Sunday. Big deal. All right. I did finish. My time wasn't exactly where I wanted it to be. Had to take a little slice of humble pie. My training was good. I feel like I trained properly. I feel like my legs were good. My body was good. The heart rate wasn't good. And with my history, with my heart condition and everything like that, my doctor still doesn't want my heart rate going up too high, especially for, you know, a 5-hour time frame. So I had to keep throttling back. A couple of people have been asking me, well, do you think if you would have trained differently, blah, blah, blah. I don't think so. I think I woke up that day. My heart rate was a little high in the morning. Could have been the atmosphere. Could have been getting ready for the race. You know, anything like that. I started a little high. And then I think the more I was thinking about my heart rate as I was running, it kept it a little higher. And then as everything was more and more physically taxing, it stayed up there. Still did great. Still very happy with my time. I'm still very happy with how I felt during it. My wife was out there. My daughter was out there. My parents were out there to watch me go across the finish line. So that I cannot replace. My wife was my biggest cheerleader through all of this. And I can't thank her enough for all the support that she gave me watching the kid while I was running for 2 or 3 hours at a time. You know, helping me prep the night before and making sure I had all my stuff and everything ready because my brain doesn't work properly and I forget everything. She reminds me, hey, did you pack this or pack that? So, again, I can't thank her enough for all the support. Everybody out there, Jack Tuffarelli, Billy Bergman, all the guys that kind of cheerleaded me along and, you know, helped me out training-wise. I appreciate it. It was just amazing. And I can't thank everybody enough for all that support. Another great event for the Suffolk County Veteran Run Series. As we're kind of getting to the close here, we're getting to the end. It's great. It was another great year of running. Next year will be on to huge, big, better things. But that was a bucket list item that I checked off, completing a marathon. And again, it was just a perfect day to enjoy. I'm going to get a little choked up thinking about it now. A lot of work, 2 years since the heart attacks, and I'm out there running 26.2 miles. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with all that. Again, thank you everybody for the support along the way. As always, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, hit a like button. Also, make sure you rate the show a 5-star on your favorite podcast platform. Share us everywhere. Again, get over to Fund the First. Donate cancer screening kits to Hunter 7. We need your help. We want to make sure we screen as many veterans as we possibly can. The goal is $2,700, and I know we're going to get there. So please get over there, do that. Again, share the show with everybody that you know so we can grow our audience. You guys are awesome out there. I love every single one of you for always being there for the show. You know, we're getting more and more guests that are just finding us or being told to contact us. It's crazy. I'm almost booking out for the entire rest of the year, and that's because of you guys, because people want to come on the show and talk to you. They don't want to talk to me. They want to talk to you guys. Nobody wants to talk to me. So, again, thank you. I think that's it for this week and for Bulletproof Veteran Podcast. My name is Jason, and thank you for your service.